All right, I can't tell if I'm in here or not. Fritzberger and Blood and Faith.com. I think I'm live. Think I'm live, and if anybody wants to give me a heads up, that would be great. Fritzberger and Blood and Faith.com. It's Sunday morning, and it's almost 10:30. It's 10:28, so we're gonna get started in a couple minutes. I'm mixing up my equipment a little bit, and so if this isn't what you normally hear, let me know. I'll do whatever technical things that I can do to get that fixed. I'm trying to put together a system so that I can go on the road that's not burdened by large and heavy microphones and microphone stands and laptop computers. It takes up a bunch of space, and I've got a little rig running on my iPhone right now. Anyway, we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 3 this morning, but we'll give it a couple more minutes. Put out some podcasts recently, this week. Thankful for the abortion decision. It, in my opinion, it's the wisest decision that could have been made, given the troubling circumstances. All it does is return the decision back to the states where it was before 1973. There is no right to an abortion in the U.S. Constitution. It's not there. That was wholly contrived, wholly invented. And up from the founding of our republic forward, the various states had laws about it. They all had different laws about it. This returns it to the states. And some states will be 100% pro-life. Other states will be beyond pro-choice. I think California just passed a law allowing the murder of a child up to a month after it's born. So yeah, live human sacrifice, man. It's in one of my podcasts, I commented that abortion is a religious right, R-I-T-E. It's a religious right from the Church of Satan, where they're sacrificing babies to Satan. That's what abortion is. It's been that way for thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years. Used to sacrifice children to Moloch. Moloch's just the devil. That's all Moloch is. Live human baby sacrifices to Satan. So it is 10:30. I am assuming that we're live. Fritzberger and Blood and Faith.com. Genesis chapter 23. As you know, we've been going through the book of Genesis for, most of this year, I think. And could you give me a sound check to see if I'm coming through? Supposedly I'm live. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a controversial teaching this morning. But you're no stranger to that. You wouldn't be listening to me if you didn't want something that was slightly different. Many years ago, I want to say the 1960s or 70s, there was a school, Christian school, a couple of Christian schools in the South. Thank you for that. And they said they had a policy, no interracial dating. It's not, you know, we don't support that. It's not scriptural. We're not going to have interracial dating. And the federal government came in and they said, you're not going to have interracial dating. You're not going to approve interracial dating. I mean, this is regardless of what the kids actually did, because kids will do what kids are going to do. They said, we're going to withhold money from you if you don't have a policy encouraging and promoting interracial dating. So the schools caved, and they said, okay, fine, we'll get rid of the law. A rule is a regulation, you know, student handbook, whatever, saying no interracial dating. Well, fast forward 60 years, we have the same situation arising in 2022. Not with interracial dating, though. Today we're going to talk about a wife for Isaac, and we're going to talk about Abraham's wife, and we're going to talk about Jacob's wife. But because Roe versus Wade was overturned and it sent the decision back to the state, you have scribes, and I'll call them scribes. Scribes are lawyers and bureaucrats. They were lawyers and bureaucrats in the time of Jesus 2,000 years ago. We have them today. Jesus Christ did not get along with them. He despised them by and large as well, because they took and twisted the words of God, the law of God, and they came up with something different. So Roe versus Wade is overturned. So what does the Department of Education do? They immediately drop the 700-page set of regulations that's essentially going to do what they did with interracial dating 60 years ago. And they're going to say, okay, fine. Y'all do what you want. But if you do not support and pay for abortions for your students, there will be no more money for your college, no more money for your grade school, no more money for your high school, no more money for your university. We're going to shut you down. There's something called the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. And this is the problem with an ever-expanding government bureaucracy and ever-expanding government finances. They just say, we don't care what the law is. Congress didn't make a law. We have government bureaucrats in charge of funding you. It's an administrative state. And we are not going to now supply you with money if you don't provide abortions for your students. The same trick they used back in the 1960s. And you may or may not agree with the decision from the schools back in the 1960s. But the issue is, once you go down that road, there's no ending what they're going to do and how they're going to impose their narrow-minded morality upon you and I. And it just turns out that as we go through the book of Genesis this morning, we're going to have some stories. We found where Abraham's wife came from. Now we're going to find Isaac's wife, and we're going to find Jacob's wife. And we're going to talk a little bit about race, always a fun and sensitive and delicate topic. Who was Abraham's wife? You guys remember who Abraham's wife was? It was his half-sister. All right, Abraham married the daughter of his father, but not the daughter of his mother. The Bible says that Sarah was exceedingly beautiful, very, very beautiful woman, which is nice to know. I'm sure Eve was very beautiful. I had a requirement in my life when I got married. I wanted to marry an exceedingly beautiful woman, and I did. Also one that was, well, we won't get into it. And so that was Abraham's wife. Genesis chapter 23. Now, Sarah lived 127 years. Sarah had good genes. Sarah had great genes. She was extraordinarily beautiful. And I can only imagine that Abraham was a very handsome man because, A, he had a beautiful wife, and B, he was half-brothers to Sarah. So there's no doubt in my mind that he was very handsome. Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in and wept for Sarah. So Hebron is a little bit south of where Jerusalem is today. It's not Jerusalem, but it's south of Jerusalem. And then he spoke to the sons of Heth. Okay, so Abraham is living in the land of Canaan. Heth was one of the children of Canaan. Who was the father of Canaan? Who was the father of Canaan? How many sons did Noah have? What were their names? Canaan. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Yeah, Shem and Japheth.
Okay. So Ham had, I think, four sons, Mizraim, Put, Canaan, and Cush. Mizraim is also called Egypt. Okay. Heth was a son of Canaan. You say, well, what difference does it make? Well, it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it makes a difference. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't talk about it. But if it's in the Bible, it's in there for a reason. I can't help it. All I can do is teach it and preach it, and hopefully we get some light into it. So this is the land of Canaan. Was Heth a Canaanite?
Yes,
that's the right answer. Thank you. So this land is dominated by a race, an ethnic group, and a religious group that is not where Abraham came from. He's living, but we'll get to it. He says, I'm a sojourner and an alien in this land. You ain't my people. My people ain't you. Now, they loved Abraham. They thought Abraham was a pretty important guy. But there was a recognition that you're not us. So Sarah dies, and Abraham speaks to the sons of Heth. Not to the people living there, to the sons of Heth, different group of people. He says, I am a stranger and a sojourner amongst you. Interesting, he didn't say in your land, because he knew it was going to belong to him. He says, look, I'm a stranger to you, and I'm a sojourner to you. We're not the same. My wife's died. I need a place to bury her out of my sight. But he says right there, he says, look, I'm a stranger and a sojourner to you, amongst you. So ethnically, religiously, racially, he ain't them. Remember, Abraham is from Shem. You say, does this matter? If it's in the Bible, it matters. Something's going on here. And so the sons of Heth, also known as Hittites. Hittites were a very, very powerful empire. They became a very powerful empire, I think, after this time. And from my reading, they spread to the northern the northeastern portions of Anatolia. Anatolia is a region that we now know of as Turkey. We now think of Turkey as a Muslim, dominated by Muslims and a Turkic people. But 2,000 years ago, most of Anatolia was, in fact, a European colony. If you read the book of Revelation, which is written in what language? Greek. Greek. It's written in a European language. The seven churches in the Revelation were all Greek colonies. They were all European colonies. And the book of Galatians was written to the Gauls. Where are the Gauls from? Well, that's a great answer, but it's wrong. So the Gauls, Gaul is a land, what we now know of as France, in northern France, up into the Low Countries. Okay, so those people had migrated to central Anatolia. So when Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians, he was writing them to a European people that lived in central Anatolia. Is it important? Does it matter? Of course it matters if it's in the Bible. All right, so here's what the Hittites say to Abraham. Hear us now, my Lord. You're a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you anything for burying your dead. And so Abraham, this is a very polite culture. It's not like us today, where we're too busy to have a long and extended conversation on something as simple as buying a gravesite. And he said, hey, go talk to Ephron the Hittite. And, you know, I really like his meadow up there and his little, you know, his little copse of trees, the forest and the cave at the end of the field. And, you know, I want to pay for it. I want to buy it from the full price. So Ephron the Hittite comes back. He says, what's a field between friends? It's yours. Take it. And Abraham says, no, I'm going to pay full price for it. He says, it's only 400 shekels of silver. What's that between friends? So Abraham buys the land. He pays for the land. It's interesting to me. Is this how he lays claim to the land legally, the land of Canaan, by purchasing it? I don't know. But I think it's pretty fascinating. I think it's pretty interesting. And so Ephron, the son of Zohar, he was sitting amongst the sons of Heth. Heth, by the way, means terror. So I don't think he was a good guy. Hittites, terror. Are not necessarily good people. It's also important to note that God is not impressed that somebody else lived in the land first. So why do they call it the land of Canaan? Because that's where the children of Canaan settled. That's one of the lands where the children of Canaan settled. And God says, I don't care. I don't care if they're first. I don't care if they're First Nations. That's what the Canadians call their Aborigines, First Nations. I don't care if they're the natives. He says, these are an evil people. They haven't filled up their evil yet. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to move them aside. You're going to take over their land. Interesting. People would have a problem with that this day. They'd say, what's racist and xenophobic or whatever. So Sarah dies. Is Isaac born at this time?
Yes,
the right answer. He only had two choices, but you got the right answer. So Isaac has a son. Do you love your mom? Mm-hmm. Would you be sad if she died?
Yes.
All right, so Isaac's mom dies. Isaac's sad. All right, Abraham's been living here for a long time. All right, do you think there's any young ladies in the land of Canaan? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of young ladies in the land of Canaan who would love to marry Abraham's son. Love to marry his son. Do you think there's any rich men in Canaan that would love to marry into Abraham's family? Yes. It only made sense. Now, a rational man may say, God sent me to this land, to live in this land. I got a son. He needs a wife. Surely I should take a wife. You know, I'm supposed to be here, right? Abraham takes his servant, whom he trusted. He makes him swear an oath. He says, look, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but you need to go back to my homeland, my countrymen, my people, my race, my family, and find a wife for my son. And you swear to me, you swear an oath that you will not take one of these Canaanitish women for my son. Interesting, interesting. Now, Sarah was highly related genetically to Abraham, half-sister. We know that Eve was genetically part of Adam. Eve, genetically, God took a rib from Adam, peeled that rib out of Adam, and built a beautiful thing for Adam. Said, here's your wife. There's something about these women that God was extraordinarily particular about. A genetic line. I think it was more than just, you know, whether, you know, of a like religion. I'm not sure. You know, Abraham had the revelation from God. It wasn't Nahor. It wasn't Laban. But he said, you're going to go back there. Surely some of the Canaanitish women could have converted. I find this interesting. And he says, okay, Lord, but what if, you know, I can't find one back there? He says, then you're going to be released from your vow, but by no means will you allow him to marry a Canaanite woman. Now, I don't understand the full meaning of this, but it's in here. Genesis chapter 4. You shall not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relations and take a wife for my son Isaac. So the guy goes back there. He goes right back to where Abraham was from. In fact, a few chapters earlier in the book of Genesis, it talks about how his relatives were multiplying and having wives and having children. And he sends his servant back there, and all of a sudden he prays. He said, God, how am I supposed to make this happen? How am I supposed to make this happen? And all of a sudden this beautiful woman comes out, and turns out she is Abraham's relative. Specifically, I think Isaac marries his cousin. All right? And so he goes and he speaks to Laban, her older brother, and let's follow the story from there. Before he was finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. So what does that make her? A cousin. 16, the girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had relations with her. The Lord was amazingly specific on who this woman had to be. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. So Laban, Abraham, or the servant goes over there. We don't even know the servant's name. And he explains the whole situation to the family. He says, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. so that he has become rich. And he has given him herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. All right, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, whatever. I mean, dude had a lot of money. And so his son is going to inherit all this money. So the servant goes on, verse 37, Genesis chapter 24. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but you shall go to my relations and take a wife for my son. You shall go to my relatives and take a wife for my son. Interesting. Interesting. Now, Abraham already had a son, right? He had a son named Ishmael. This is the second son, Isaac. But as far as God was concerned, Ishmael doesn't matter. Ishmael ain't it. God blessed Ishmael. God made a nation of nations out of Ishmael. And he blessed Ishmael specifically because of Abraham. Not because of Hagar, but because of Abraham. And the bloodline falls down through the male. Yet these women are extraordinarily important. Without Eve, you and I couldn't be here. Without Eve, we couldn't have a Savior. And God chose Sarah. And now, what's her name? Is it Rachel? Oh, Rebecca. All right. So finally, he buys off the family. He gives the family lots of gold and money and wealth and gifts. And he brings Rebecca back. And Isaac sees her. She covers her face. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah so that she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Interesting story. Abraham took another wife named Keturah. I don't know anything about Keturah. I haven't found anything in the Bible that indicates to me who she was or where she was from or her line. Abraham had many, many children through Keturah. Yet all these children were sent out with a gift, just like Ishmael was. Hey, sonny, good on you. Here's $100,000. Have a nice life. See ya. You're out of here. And all the wealth went to Isaac from Abraham. This is interesting to me. There was something very important about Sarah and Rebecca. Perhaps their genetics. I don't know. Because after all, they are going to be the female ancestor of Mary, who gives birth to Jesus Christ. So it must be important. Very specific genealogy of Eve, Sarah, Rachel, all the way down to Mary. I don't know why, but it seems to be important. Mary, by the way, on both sides of her genealogy, is traced back to King David. Because God told David, he said, you're a man after my own heart, and I swear to you, of your seed, one of your descendants will sit on the throne forever and ever and ever. So Mary's genealogy traces right back to David on both sides of her family. Well, there's two genealogies that Mary has, but it's traced back to David. Interesting. I'd also like to mention that if you remember, if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels come down and they mate with the daughters of men and mess up their genetics. So when a school 60 or 70 years ago, circling back to where I started from, said no interracial dating, well, this is their foundation. It goes back to here. And later on, we'll see that the next son, who's the next son? Who's Isaac has two sons. Who's Isaac have his first sons? Abraham had Isaac. Isaac has who? Jacob. Jacob and Esau. They have twins. So Rebecca gives birth to Jacob and Esau. Esau's got red hair. He's red hair and hairy. He's a red man. He's a ginger. Hair all over. But you know what the Bible says about Esau? God says, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. I don't know why. I don't know why. But he's very specific on who he wanted. By the way, when Jacob gets married, he has an ought with Esau. He steals his birthright. And we'll probably get into that next week. Rebecca says, Jacob, go back to where I come from. Go back to my people. Go back to my ancestors. Go back to my relatives. And he finds a wife back there, Rachel. And here's something else that's interesting. When Eve is with Adam, who's sniffing around Eve?
The devil.
The devil's sniffing around Eve. Well, that's a pretty girl here. He wants a partner in mankind. Fallen angels come down in Genesis chapter 6, and they go after the daughters of men. Abraham shows up, and he's scared for his own life, but all the men wanted that woman. Isaac shows up. Isaac's got the same problem. He says, hey, this is my sister, Rebecca. And the king said, one of my men could have taken her and lain with her. So this is interesting. And later on, of course, we have the story all the way back down into the book of Revelation. We're skipping ahead. But there is a wife and there's a false wife. There's a wife and there's a false wife in the book of Revelation. So the wife is extraordinarily important. And who is Jesus Christ? He's the seed of the woman. He's the seed of the woman. Okay, you had an offspring of Rebecca, offspring of Rachel, offspring of Sarah, offspring of Eve. And this woman, Mary, had never become one flesh with a male and didn't pass on that sin-loving nature to Jesus Christ. Now, if somebody wants to say, hey, it's good to marry into your own kind, well, here's a biblical example for that. Here's a biblical example of that. At the same time, we know that Abraham he had children through Hagar. And God blessed Hagar's offspring because of Abraham. We also know that there was a woman named Naomi. This is moving far in the future. This is hundreds of years from this time. She goes into the land of the Moabites with her sons and her husbands. Bottom line is, all the men die. They shouldn't have gone to Moab. And she brings back a young Moabitess woman who becomes King David's ancestor. Interesting. All right, they're coming into the house too. And yet again, the bloodline flows through the male. So, back where I started, some Christian universities, this is half a century ago or more, said, look, our student handbook says no interracial dating. The government says we're not going to give you any money. So they caved. So fast forward to 2022, you've got this Department of Education today releases a 700-page document saying, if you don't provide abortions to your children, we're going to dry up your funds and drive you out of business. So this is how the scribes and the Pharisees manipulate the way the world works. And if you don't comply to the moral guidance of these scribes, they're going to cut off your funds. It's the same playbook, same trick. And you think, well, they'll never do that. Well, they're doing it. So unisex bathrooms, boys on girls teams, there is no boys and girls teams anymore. Because they can't even define what a woman is. All this is applicable. All of this gives you narrative. It's narrative so that you can understand what some of the questions are going on. So God speaks to Isaac. The Lord appears to Isaac and he says, don't go down to Egypt. Egypt plays a big part in the story. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land and I will be with you and I will bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all the lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and he kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes. All right, enter generational covenants. All right, Abraham didn't see the land going to him. He said, hey, I'm a sojourner and a foreigner here. So God shows up. He speaks to his son Isaac. He says, I see all this land. I'm going to give it to you because of your father Abraham. So my dream since before I met your mom was to have a dynasty. God gave me my Sarah. God gave me my Sarah. I prayed for your mom when she was probably 10 years old. I never didn't know her back then, but I prayed for a wife. And so God gave me my Sarah. And so my hope and dream and desire is to have a dynasty, a nation, come from my Sarah. All right? And that my children would be great in the earth. That they would be great in the earth. And so God didn't finish it with Abraham, but he started with Abraham. Now he goes to Isaac. He says, I'm going to bless you. And my God's going to say the same thing to Aurora and to Leif and to Fritz and to Lars. So I'm going to bless you and have that visionary. And then it's going to go down to your children after you. How'd you like to be Sarah? Be the grand matron of the Messiah. I saw a little meme this morning. And this woman was saying, hey, man, I've dedicated my life to science. This other woman is talking to her and she says, hey, I've raised 5 scientists. Because she had a bunch of kids and they grew up and became whatever. So who's the greater there? I mean, they were called very specifically. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Mary, Eve. So Isaac stayed and he didn't go down to... He was on his way to Egypt. He says, okay, I'll stop here. And then again, he's afraid of you know, the beauty of his wife. I don't know what it was about the beauty of his wife. She was a beautiful woman. About his wife, he said, she's my sister, for he was afraid to say of my wife, because the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. So there's this attempt that goes back to the Garden of Eden to steal the man's wife because she's beautiful. Here's another good verse, chapter 26, verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in the land, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold. How'd you like to invest $1 and you get $100 back? Invest $1 million, you get $100 million back. Invest $1 million, you get $100 million back. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very, very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that all the Philistines envied him. Again, but I mean, that should be the vision for every man, for a dynasty for his kids. I don't want you living on the edges, like you all to be rich and to build up a great household, a great family, a great name, in order that we would raise our children and grandchildren and great grandchildren to honor Jesus Christ. The greatest gift your mother and I can give to you is faith in Jesus Christ. It's become rare. And that is gold that we can give you that nobody else can give you. And believe me, it does come down through the father and mother. It comes down through the family. Absolutely comes down through the family. You can, I mean, I know people raised in Christian homes, and they take their, and they've become sort of, you know, unbelievers or agnostic, and they take their kids to synagogues and Hindu worship centers and mosques and a church and say, well, choose what you want. Not here, not in this household. This is why we do this. Sow the seed in your heart, and it will not return void. It's a special gift that your mother and father can give to you. Now, y'all got to make your own relationship with the Almighty God, just like Isaac does, just like Jacob does. Each one of them has an encounter with God. Each one of them has an encounter with God. And God carries on the promise and the blessing from Abraham through them. And later on, we're going to see. And they all had hard lives. They all went through some tough times. Abraham did. We talked about that. Isaac probably had the easiest of times. Nevertheless, it wasn't easy. Rather traumatic moment with his father when his father was going to slice him open. I'm sure that affected the relationship. And then when he had children, the children fought in the womb, and there was deep, bad blood between his sons, his twin sons. And then Jacob has a tough life. We'll find that out. And then one of his sons, Joseph, he has a really, really tough life. So even if you're wealthy, doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life. Here's God speaking to Isaac. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. For I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Again, generational. Families. It's about families. It's about our family in particular. But this is a pattern. This is a pattern. This is a model. We need to learn from it. I frequently talk about how the Holy Scriptures is a narrative. It's a narrative. It's like our household is a narrative. You grow up with a man and a woman who's your mom and your dad, and it kind of frames your worldview. You may understand that dad isn't perfect or mom isn't perfect, or that, you know, this or that or anything, but it gives you an entire framework without which you would not be who you are. And the Holy Scriptures, they are perfect, but more than that, it gives you a grand narrative of the purpose of mankind. And that is the most important thing. In the beginning, God created a man. He said, get together with a woman, have a bunch of kids, teach them to serve me. That's day one, story one, principle number one. And as we take our, as this narrative frames our narrative, we can stay in a healthy manner. And when a nation departs from this narrative and rejects this narrative, they end up teaching lesbianism to fourth graders and teaching little boys that they can cut off body parts and inject hormones and become a girl. It's a sickness. It's a disease. And the narrative's right here. It says, no, a boy's a boy, a girl's a girl. Don't fight it. Embrace it. But Satan wants to invert it. Wants to invert it all. And I am extraordinarily pleased with the Sarah that God gave me. It's a destiny. It's a purpose. Sometimes it's hard. And he's given me incredibly beautiful, wise, intelligent children. And I'm, you know, we pray that you carry on that destiny. You carry on that project of building Christian nations through us just by having kids and grandkids. It's hard. It's not easy. It's a challenge. And our prayer and my prayer is that God would bless you and make you rich, that you would sow in the land and reap a hundredfold, and you become exceedingly wealthy, so much so that all the evil people and the pagan people fear you. And yet you use your influence for good. And that's all I have this morning. I hope it's come through well on the live channel, Podbean. Again, Fritz Bergeron. I've got some visitors there. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com. And I'm going to go ahead and shut down this live feed, and we're going to continue. If you're out there with your family, continue as well. Say your prayers. And I'm going to sign off. Again, this is a new system for me. I'm still trying to figure it out. All right. So-and-so liked the show. Thank you. Now, which button do I push to stop it?